1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. New York City Mayor Eric Adams indicted by a federal grand jury for unknown criminal charges. Here's ABC senior investigative correspondent Aaron Katursky.
We know that he has been under investigation for almost a year, a third of his tenure in office. This started as campaign finance, but the investigation has expanded in recent months and has included some top members of the administration.
The indictment against Adams is expected to be unsealed later this morning. Florida's Gulf Coast and Panhandle bracing for what's expected to be a major hurricane. Helene forecast to make landfall. Later this evening is a Category 4 storm. Widespread flooding is expected up through Georgia throughout the night and tomorrow. The U.S. and its allies calling for a 21-day ceasefire in fighting between Israel and Hezbollah in Lebanon. Overnight, an Israeli airstrike in Lebanon hit a building housing Syrian workers, killing 23. Kamala Harris to visit the U.S.-Mexico border in Arizona tomorrow. This is ABC News. A federal judge giving the okay to a class action settlement over the toxic train crash in East Palestine, Ohio. The $600 million being paid by Norfolk Southern Railroad includes money for families and businesses within a 20-mile radius of the crash site. One more game for the A's in Oakland, with a team set to hit the road for good after this afternoon.
For the first time in 57 years after today, the Oakland Coliseum won't have a baseball team. For fans who grew up watching the A's in Oakland, like this reporter, it's a sad day. For concession workers, they're saying goodbye to their jobs.
We all are going to miss this place.
Brian Johansson will be at today's game.
If I start talking about it, I'll start crying.
Next season, the A's will play in Sacramento while waiting for a new stadium in Las Vegas. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Going up for auction tomorrow, the ball Dodgers superstar Shohei Ohtani hit for his 50th home run this year, opening bid $500,000. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
This news report is sponsored by Wisconsin Capital Management, LLC, serving their clients for 40 years. Visit wiscap.com.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An arrest this week in a long unsolved murder investigation in the La Crosse area. Jimmy Cuska reports.
Officials said 60-year-old Michael Pop of Toma is being held on a $1 million bail as the lone suspect in the 1985 death of Terry Dalloway. According to court documents, a DNA sample taken last year from Pop matches a sample that was collected during the 1985 autopsy. Dalloway was a 24-year-old UW La Crosse student who was found dead in Vernon County 4 days after going missing in 1985. I'm Jimmy Cuska.
A recent school shooting in Georgia appears to be inspiring a rash of school threats. The Attorney General's office says more than 130 school threats have been reported in 28 Wisconsin school districts in just 2 weeks. The state runs a Speak Up, Speak Out tip line where anyone can report an anonymous tip about a concerning comment or post. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers get ready for the border battle. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay plays Minnesota this week, and the big question is, will Jordan Love play? Love says he's feeling better each time out.
At the end of the day, it's all feel things. Feeling my body, feeling if I'm pushing too much, and my body's kind of just listening to my body, talking to me. And, the workout pregame Sunday, I felt like I was moving around pretty well, and my body was responding well to it.
Coach Matt LaFleur says they are taking it one day at a time. Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. The Milwaukee Brewers are officially officially the third seed in the National League. The Brewers' 2-1 loss to Pittsburgh last night and wins by both Los Angeles and Philadelphia means the Brewers will play in next week's wild card round. Freddy Peralta became the fourth Brewers pitcher to record 200 strikeouts in multiple seasons. The Brewers finish up with the Pirates today before taking on the Mets in a potential playoff preview this weekend. And the Milwaukee Bucks are making a, quote, major ownership announcement this morning. Bucks co-owner Jimmy Haslam will be speaking. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be sunny and warm again today. Our high right around 80 this afternoon. The wind southwest at around 5 to 10. Tonight clear, a little fog by morning into the low 50s. Tomorrow sunshine with a high near 80. It's going to continue through the weekend too with sunshine. Low 80s Saturday and Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 52.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we're going to talk about the things on which we agree. I know they exist. Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot and Sports with Paul Noonan. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 11.
Mad Radio, WMDX. Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
WMDX, the John and Gordy Family Show.
Good morning.
It's not exactly a special edition today, but maybe we could just dedicate the show to Charo, who appeared with Pete Schwabe last night.
We're going to dedicate it?
Oh, my God, yes.
To Charo?
Yeah, Charo's going to be in your favorite town, Baraboo.
Coochie Coochie Lady?
Coochie Coochie. She's going to be out there in Baraboo on Friday, October 11th, and it is, it sounds like it's going to be a crazy show. Maybe we should check the computer and find out just how old Charo is. She doesn't age. She doesn't stop.
Computer.
Let's hear.
How old is Charo?
According to fandom, Charlotte Dunois's age is 15.
Oh, God. Okay, that's somebody else,
so,
I guess.
So it's too old for the computer to...
Yeah, I was going to say, I had never heard of Charo before this morning. How old do you need to be to know who she is?
Let me ask it a different way. Computer, how old is the singer Charo, who was married to Xavier Cugat?
From amamama.com. Charo, 68, was previously married to bandleader Xavier Cugat from 1966 to 1978.
She's dialed back in the odometer on that.
68?
60. No, she's older than 60.
She's on like Ed Sullivan show when I was a kid.
Yes. That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, there you go. She managed to manipulate the internet somehow.
Apparently.
Her Wikipedia page doesn't have a birthday on
No, it's a total mystery. She's going to keep it a mystery.
Okay.
That's amazing.
I think a lot of people probably don't know Charo or her work. Some of the younger people out there that might be listening.
She's a fabulous flamenco guitarist.
Yes.
She took guitar lessons from Segovia.
That's right.
She's from Spain, and she also sings and dances and moves around, and she's kind of a Dolly Parton of Spain, right?
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
And she's been on the Love Boat.
She was on all those game shows. She was on the Match Game. She was on all the shows.
Oh, she was on Pee Wee Herman?
Yeah. She's a singer, flamenco guitar player. Xavier Cugat discovered her, I guess, and put her in the band, and they got married. And he was even older than she. He passed away a long time ago. But yeah.
You'd be 200. If you were still alive today.
Well, so she's going to be at Baraboo at the Al Ringling Theater October 11th.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yes. She's still going strong.
43 bucks to see Charo.
Charo.
I mean, she is a true legend, but if you have a chance, you've got to check out the podcast of Pete Schwabes from last night. It is It is a rip. I mean, I don't know if it's at the end of the show or not, but it was a fantastic interview that I heard a repeat of it.
Right.
On the way in.
This morning. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Good stuff. Well, let's get to the weather. We've got some fog out there this morning, some of the low-lying areas. So, you know, don't lie down outside in those low-lying areas.
No one will see you.
That's right. 50 degrees to start the day. Let's get out the lottery weather balls. Why don't we do that and check out what we can find out of the high temperature for today as the balls roll around inside the broken lottery machine. First number is a 7. Lucky 7. Our first number. Second number is another 7. Wow, double 7s.
That is fantastic to me. I mean, it's accurate every time.
It's more accurate
than the damn computer here.
Yeah.
The high-tech computer that we have in the studio now.
Let's just ask the computer.
Yeah.
Computer, what's the temperature in Madison, Wisconsin?
At the moment, it's 54 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay, that's
right.
Four degrees off.
You can expect a high of 78 degrees.
Okay, well, we're pretty close. All right. Well, maybe the computer's getting the hang of things here. Get accurate up to the minute weather.
Why is there a 4-degree difference?
Again, I think one of those temperatures is from the airport.
Yeah.
And the other one is from
a cornfield in Sun Prairie, right?
Yeah, somewhere else.
Those are the only two reference points I remember.
Right. Yeah. That's it. A little bit later on, we've got a couple of guests lined up for
us. Boy, do we, huh?
Yeah.
We've got the Busted Pencils coming up at 6:35 this morning. We're going to have a regular feature of the Busted Pencils since they left the station. They had a great show in the evening, and it was just we really missed them, and so we're inviting them back, and they're going to have a regular program here on the Family Show, 6:35 on Thursdays.
Right. We're going to let them take it over, huh?
Take it over. It's them.
Well, we'll be there,
It'll be half the program that they normally would do. They've always got great topics, and we're just going to kind of leave it up to them. They can ask us questions. We'll probably throw in a few questions, too. But basically, it's going to be the Busted Pencils show.
And they still have a podcast that
Yes, they do have the podcast
on
there.
Civic Media.
In fact, we're going to ask them a few questions about the format of their podcast that they have. So we'll find out more about that at 6:35.
Should be good.
This morning.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, of course, you know, Jim Santel will be our guest at 7:35. Yeah. And we've got a few legal questions to ask him. Big things happening in court. Yeah. So we'll be talking to him later.
Got to talk about that Wausau mayor with Jim.
Yeah.
Just deciding, you know, he's going to move the ballot box around.
It's days
he's
like this that I'm ashamed to have come from Wausau.
Well, you know, who else is in Wausau?
Well, who?
Yeah, who?
Who are you talking about? Brittany Merlot?
Brittany.
Isn't she
up there?
She is.
Yes.
Okay. Well, all right. I just thought that was an obvious
softball. Yeah, WXCO's studio is like two blocks away from City Hall.
So maybe she knows, right?
I think she may know something about that as well.
Maybe she's outraged. I bet she's angry as hell.
Could be.
We'll ask.
We'll ask that question. Yes. Let's get to the National Day calendar for today.
All right, let's do that.
As soon as I can find it here. Here it is. Okay.
I know you've been searching around Charo's age and where she's appearing.
Right. Well, those are important things.
I did find one source saying 1951, so 73.
She's
up there.
Closer, although I think
that's a little low. That's a gift.
Okay.
She's younger than I am.
Is it? I'm going to pare this list down a little bit. Is it?
Really? We got a long
list. That's a long list. National Situational Awareness Day. Is it that? Or is it National Pancake Day? Or is it National Johnny Appleseed Day?
Uh-oh.
How about National Shamu the Whale Day? Or is it National Red Suspenders Day? Which day is it not?
National Red Suspenders Day. Those are your red suspenders from your kiddie show that you used to wear.
I know. I can't find those.
Oh,
had them for years, and I can't find them now.
Wow.
Somebody took
them, and now they're on the auction block for at least
$1,000. Yes. the kiddie show. The Fox 47 Superstars Club. Whatever happened to Dimples the Dinosaur and Francois Fox, no, it, Betsy Bear.
Come on, your
all
star,
those characters.
The star was Francois Fox.
He was the star of the show.
He was something else.
Yeah, he was.
Wisecracking Fox.
We got to get a hold of Scotty Yarbrough and see if we
who
can.
Who did the Fox
he
voice?
He was the puppeteer. And he's still around.
He made a special appearance. I think I have it on our cable access show.
That's right.
Reruns that we have at democurmudgeon.blogspot.com.
We had Francois the Fox.
We did. I debated him.
We got to find that. Is that on the website?
Yeah, it's there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Democurmudgeon.blogspot.com.
Yeah, we threw a couple of barbs at each other.
He was kind of the, he was, you know, he was the forerunner of the insult dog. Remember, who was the insult dog?
Yes.
From SNL. What was the name of the
was
insult
Was he the forerunner,
dog?
Do you think? I or think, was, or did we, who came, who
I don't
came
know.
First on that one?
I don't know.
The who, insult dog.
Nobody knows what we're talking about now. Saturday night. Oh, computer. What was the Saturday Night Live insult dog's name?
From imdb.com. Robert Smigel is an American actor,
Smigel.
Humorist, comedian, writer and director known for his Saturday Night Live TV Funhouse cartoon shorts and as the puppeteer and voice behind Triumph, the insult
Triumph.
Comic dog.
Took a long time to get to
insult
Triumph.
Insult comic dog.
Triumph was great. That
he's
was a
still,
great bit.
He's still great. He still does the bit.
You know, he didn't show up at the conventions, though. I think he used to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, show up at the National and, you know, Republican convention and start insulting people with his puppeteering.
This time, I think they're a little more sensitive.
Maybe so. Let's check out the National Day calendar again. The Situational Day. What is this? Situational Awareness Day. This sounds pretty serious, huh?
It does.
Situational Awareness Day brings attention to personal safety, okay? The day highlights the importance of using situational awareness skills in everyday life to stay out of harm's way. It just means to be more aware, you know, focus on being aware, paying attention to your environment.
Survival instinct is what
survival
it's called.
Survival instincts. Situational Awareness Day. Okay. Great. Let's all be situationally aware today.
About as deep as we need to go into that one.
Did I mention it's National Dumpling Day or did I skip that?
You skipped that one.
Okay. How about National Pancake Day?
Yes. Let's go to that one.
You want to do that one? Mm-hmm. All right.
Yes. Let's go to that.
Oh, pancakes.
You got to get a good
tall
one.
Tall stack of syrupy
Short
goodness.
Short stack.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Just set the table, mix up the batter, heat up the griddle because the butter is ready to melt and the flapjacks are delicious.
Yeah, there you go.
Have some pancakes today.
Yeah,
apparently, get this, pancakes go back more than 30,000 years. 30,000? Who was taking notes then? Hotcakes, or Johnny cakes, as they're known, griddle cakes, apparently 30,000. How do they have no citing for this at all. Questioning their
the big question I always had is when I looked at some of these recipes for pancakes, they always say something about putting oil in the pan, and I'm thinking you don't fry them.
No,
it's a dry pan.
Yeah,
dry skillet.
Mm.
So you know, just
I like the thin pancakes, almost like a
like a crepe.
Mm-hmm. But you guys like the thick pancakes.
Yeah, like a cake.
We had argued them. About that one time.
Now he's getting upset.
I am.
Sam, get in here.
You want me to back you up on
check
this?
Check my blood pressure, please.
You get serious about it.
I like my pancakes just the way I like them, okay?
Why don't you just eat
crepes?
It's
a free country.
Then?
Well, if you could order crepes, I would. Well, you know,
there's
I can.
There's a crepe place just off the Capitol Square.
Is there?
Yeah.
Just go up there and.
You know the name
You
of
can leave now.
Okay. All right. I'll be happy to. But I can't. It's National Johnny Appleseed Day.
We honor
the man who made the apple and pear trees. Pear trees? I didn't know he had anything to do with pear trees. John Chapman was his name. Okay. All right. We got a little bit more of the National Day calendar. We'll get to the history moments in just a minute or two. It's 6:18. You're listening to the John and Gordy in the Morning Show right here on 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Is your computer so slow you can hardly use it? Does it have blue screens, malware, viruses, reboots, hardware crashes? Sound familiar? Computers will have problems, and when they do, You need the computer experts at Madison Computer Works. Every day, we help home users and businesses keep their computers and networks running smoothly. For solutions to your computer problems, call the pros at 231-8000, and we'll turn this into this. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care. And a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar, something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It is National Monte Cristo Day. It's kind of one of those sandwiches. It's like bell bottoms. You just haven't heard about it in like 40 years. But it got me thinking, what's a sandwich that's totally overrated? I'm going to go first. The Philly cheesesteak.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm spoiled. Because in Wisconsin, we have the brat packed with tons more taste than a Philly cheesesteak.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
There was a man, they called him Johnny Appleseed. He planted trees that grew up big and strong. An angel, so they say, pointed out the way, singing this funny apple song.
It would have to be funny.
There's apples, pickles, oh so tasty, apples, tart and
this
apple,
isn't Disney,
tasty,
is it? Apple,
it is Disney.
Okay.
Of course.
It sounds a little Disney. 92.7 WMDX, the John and Gordy Family Show. We're talking Johnny Appleseed here.
Yeah, it's Johnny Appleseed Day.
Yeah.
He was born on this date in 1774 in Massachusetts. Leominster, Massachusetts. Yeah.
He carried those apple seeds around wherever he went.
He did.
And he landed in Door County one day when I was up there.
Did he?
We're celebrating our anniversary.
He must have been pretty old.
Our wedding anniversary went up there. And we went to an apple orchard, and they had a barn that was dedicated to Johnny Appleseed. Just a lot of bales of hay.
Okay.
And inside those bales of hay, they had one of those styrofoam heads that you put hats on.
Okay.
And in there, they would project Johnny Appleseed's image from a projector onto this white styrofoam head, and Johnny Appleseed would tell his story. I mean, it was like a movie screen, and he was on there and he was talking.
Just, wait a minute!
It was the most who thought of this in Door County?
Did they charge
on a farm
money to do this?
No, you just tour their their store and get apple juice and stuff like that, and apples, fresh apples, but and cherries. But I'm up there and I'm looking at this thing and I was just fascinated. Anne had to pull me away from the barn.
Was it telling a good story?
It was a fantastic story. But what an idea. Who thought of this? What farmer said, oh, yeah, a white styrofoam head, project the guy's face on it, and then he'll tell his appleseed story to everybody.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
That is unbelievable.
I actually put it on video. I don't know if I have it on, on democommotion.blogspot.com, but it might be there.
Okay.
All right.
Jeez. That's great.
Yeah.
What a terrific idea.
It is. But I don't know. I hope they have it each and every year for other people to experience the most surreal experience I had in a long time.
Look for it in Door County.
And now, by the way, I want to thank everybody who's been texting us. Eric in Lodi mentioned that it was Trump, be insult. We probably could have looked up Triumph. And we could have looked up at the screen and actually had that without even asking the damn computer.
Well, I know. The screen is just a just. I wish we could get it a little closer to us or with bigger font on it.
Bigger fonts,
yeah. It's a little hard to see. Anyway, yeah. It's also, you know, we talked about Triumph the insult dog. There's another animal, National Shamu the Whale Day.
Yeah.
Shamu the Whale.
Yes.
Yes, that's today. Not only honors the famous whale, but also raising awareness about orcas in our ocean. The powerful predators are the largest member of the dolphin family. Shamu is the name used in several of SeaWorld's orca whale shows. I don't know. Do they do those anymore?
I don't think they do it anymore. Shamu is a reminder that there was a time where they had pet.
Yeah, and something went really...
Yeah, that just didn't go well.
It didn't go well.
No.
But, yeah. Anyway, so we salute Shamu the whale. All right, history book stuff. What do we got?
Oh, boy.
What do we got for 26th of September?
Well, you said you remembered this one. Today in 1960 was the Kennedy-Nixon debate, which was the first presidential debate to be televised.
Televised, yeah. Yeah, Kennedy, Nixon in Chicago, Illinois at CBS 2 in Chicago on downtown there. They had the debate. A lot of people that listened to the debate on radio thought that Nixon won. People that were watching on TV thought that Kennedy won because Nixon didn't do any TV makeup and he didn't look well and he was sweating profusely and he looked uncomfortable. Kennedy, you know, just got back from a vacation, nicely tanned, his hair looks perfect, you know, and he's sounding good.
I watched a little bit of it yesterday when I was doing this research. I gotta agree.
So overall, most people thought Kennedy won that debate because they were watching on TV.
But
anyway. Yeah, 1960.
A little experiment in television at that time.
More TV history. Today in 1962, the Beverly Hillbillies debuted.
Oh, yeah.
What a great show.
Yeah, what an incredibly bizarre show.
Jethro. Mr. Drysdale.
You know, it wasn't a great time for drugs at that point. I mean, you know, we haven't really kicked into, you know, the Love Society yet.
No.
But the Hillbillies were, you know, it's like the writers were on hallucinogens.
They were cutting.
Maybe
edge.
I just haven't watched that much of it because I haven't perceived that.
Oh, definitely. It's like Green Acres. Yeah. It was just as nuts as that.
Right.
Fun show. Today in 1969, Abbey Road is released by the Beatles.
55 years ago.
Is it? Yeah, that's...
55 years ago. That's uncanny.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's so
unreal.
Long ago that no one could remember a lot of the details from back then about the Beatles. No one would retain that kind of information.
Well, John, I beg to differ. I remember a lot of things about that era and the Beatles, but I won't go on and on. But here's the first cut.
Yes.
On Abbey Road, Come Together. Of course, John Lennon got sued for this song.
What's the story behind that?
Chuck Berry had a song that started out with the same lyrics.
Oh.
Here come old flat top, he come grooving up slowly. And I can't remember, some Chuck Berry fan will know what the name of that song is. It doesn't come to mind. We can ask the computer in a moment. But this was the only song that Lennon and McCartney co-wrote. And afterwards, Paul said, you know, you can't use that lyric. That's Chuck Berry's lyric. We got to change that lyric. And John Lennon refused to do that. This is the only song that they wrote together that Paul McCartney had a legal document drafted saying that he had nothing to do with the lyrics on that song in case it came to legal action sometime down the road. Well, it did. And John Lennon had to pay the price. He did a rock and roll album with a bunch of the songs from Chuck Berry's catalog and some other songs as well to pay back what he owed in royalties to Chuck Berry.
Making an entire album just to pay your legal fees.
Well, yeah, that's what it amounted to.
It's like making a coin with your face on it to pay your legal fees, isn't it?
But I thought it was interesting. Paul McCartney signed off on this legal document saying, you know, I had nothing to do with those lyrics.
That's great.
Interesting.
That's a great story.
Anyway. All right. It is 6:29, and coming up, the Busted Pencil guys are going to be with us here on the John and Gordy Show, 92.7 WMDX.
Right!
to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt Nair on air.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Organic dairy operators are crying foul when it comes to all the changes being proposed to the federal milk marketing orders. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. That's because federal milk marketing orders today, and even with revisions being proposed, really don't address pricing of organic milk. Shauna Nelson's the Executive Vice President of Membership with Organic Valley Dairy Cooperative out of Lafarge, Wisconsin.
Organic dairy products are really separate from what you're seeing on the conventional side. And so ultimately, supply and demand is really a factor there. And cooperatives like ours are the ones that are setting pay price with our farmers. You see farmers that are either having contracts directly with either brokers or buyers, and you also see cooperatives that are structured sort of like ours.
Shauna Nelson, Executive Vice President of Membership with Organic Valley. She says organic dairy as well as organic egg production have witnessed about a 5.5% increase in demand just within the past year. Markets and overnight electronic trade for a Thursday morning. Right now, a little mixed. Numbers are next.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
They believe in protecting the families and children in our farming communities. Kids love to be included in the daily farm activities, but accidents can happen quickly. Reduce the chance of injury by making sure your farm is a safe environment for adults and kids. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
At Wisconsin Farm Bureau, we know that every farm, big or small, faces unique challenges. That's why we offer solutions tailored to your needs, from policy advocacy to exclusive benefits that save you money. We're more than just an organization. We're a community preparing the next generation of farmers to lead Wisconsin. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, your partner in farming success.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture. Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Big drop in dairy yesterday. Barrel cheese dropped 11¾ cents in a day to 242¾. 40-pound block cheese was down a penny and a half to 17½, while AA butter dropped 4 cents to 286 a pound. October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning, down 6, 23.39 a hundredweight. December corn's down a penny at 414. November soybeans are up a penny right now, 10.54, and December wheat down a penny at 5.88 a bushel. So just a quick snapshot on what's happening as far as the markets on a Thursday morning. World Dairy Expo next week. If you're planning on being at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison, look me up. I'll be broadcasting throughout the show. You can find details at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be sunny and warm again today. Our high right around 80 this afternoon. The wind southwest at around 5 to 10. Tonight clear, a little fog by morning into the low 50s. Tomorrow sunshine with a high near 80. It's going to continue through the weekend too with sunshine. Low 80s Saturday and Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 52.
Shop Furlow Mattress during our Labor Day sale. It's our biggest sale of the season. Get a free box spring with a mattress purchase. Or upgrade to an adjustable base and save even more. At Furlow, every mattress we make is factory direct and custom made locally for you. And it's backed by our lifetime comfort guarantee. Don't fall for the other guy's mattress gimmicks. Furlow has no middleman, so you'll get the comfort you want and save a whole lot of money. American made, locally crafted. Furlow.
Sure, the home seller's market is hot right now, but that means many people are jumping at the first offer. When you sell with the most trusted name in real estate, the Aaron Weber Group at First Weber, you're guaranteed the hottest offer, making you the most money for your home. The Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber, your local realtor, friend, and neighbor, has your best interest in mind and wants you to make the most of this amazing time to sell. Bring a little heat to your home selling experience with Aaron Weber Group and move to Madison.com.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, it's Thursday, so we give our popcorn pick of the week, and Emerson Lehman of the WBAY Morning Show drops by to talk about his Emmy nominations. Join me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
If you're not waking up to John and Gordy on 92.7 WMDX, you're missing the third best morning show in the state. And if you're waiting till they're number one, it'll be a while.
Telling us.
We're working on that. One of these days, right?
One of these days. 6:34. It's 50 degrees this morning. We've got some fog out there. Look out for that. Going to see sunshine, high near 77. All right.
The John and Gordy Family Show and a regular feature on the program. Thursdays, we're going to feature busted pencils. And as our special guest this morning, we're going to talk about busted pencils and what we can expect. And we'll talk about the podcast that you guys have as well. Welcome, Dr. Tim Slecker and, of course, Johnny Lupinacci, right?
Good to have you guys.
Hey, hey, good morning, good morning.
All right.
Welcome aboard. So, give us the rundown of where things stand right now with Busted Pencils. You have a podcast. Well, you started. Did you start out as a podcast originally?
Quick history. I mean, it started actually as a podcast over 10 years ago, and then transitioned and became a one hour once a week radio show, and then. I think when Civic Media became Civic Media, Johnny Lupinacci and I worked together and doing the once a week radio show. And then for a while here, starting in February up until last month, we were doing 5 days a week, 6 o'clock on all the Civic Media stations.
Yeah.
And now there's this transition that we're doing because our content is maybe potentially more suited for a podcast because we have longer, more in-depth interviews than like the every 7 to 8, 9, 10 minutes breaking up with a commercial kind of takes away that flow from the interviews because some of the people we have are deep content guests. So that's what we're doing now, but we're really trying to keep though the fun, the happy attitude, the a little bit of punchy, a little bit of, you know, hey, making fun of your neighbor if we have to, or actually enjoying our neighbor. But you know, we're gonna have three new segments, a homeroom segment, classes in session segment, and a first downs and Friday night lights segments. Those are dropping every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Now, when we met you guys a few months ago, I can't remember exactly when that was, but you were here visiting Madison, and we got together and we hung out for a while. But what was surprising to me was that was the first time you guys had actually met in person. When you had done the show.
We were baking the cake, you know.
Yeah,
but we left it out in the rain, and we lost the recipe again.
Yeah, well, so you worked together for quite a while before you actually even met each other, right?
Yeah, man, it's a pretty wild story. That's exactly just about right. I mean, you know, Tim had the original podcast of Busted Pencils for a little while, and I somehow ended up on there as a guest. I think Tim, you were doing a special episode or an episode on punk rock teaching.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tim and I both as social studies teachers and then teacher educators, we also share an affinity for the arts and the way that, you know, music really is woven through a lot of the ways we teach and that we can be exciting teachers. And so I was a guest on your podcast. And then this was a weird time, John and Gordy, you guys might remember it, a more recent historical moment where this global pandemic hits.
Yeah.
I mean, I think maybe a week or so, or right around the time I was a guest on your podcast, Tim, you know, COVID kind of hit, things shut down. And that's when you first went weekly.
Right.
Well, it might even been monthly back then. No, it was weekly.
Yeah.
Weekly with the radio show. And you said, hey, man, I'm going to be doing this live from the studio. You think you want to join me? And so I've been with them ever since, but you know, we had that whole stint, we didn't see each other. And then we're actually located in completely different sides of the country. And so the first time we actually physically sat in a room together was when we came over to
Short
Studio. It's like you guys and all the folks at Civic Media. Yep.
Right. Yeah, it's wild. I was watching your podcast because you mentioned that we wanted to talk about the format of your podcast, and you kind of, you know, told us that already. But I listened to the last one. I believe it was about the Arizona school choice, statewide school choice program out there. One thing I didn't know is that the money's not been spent. They have this.
Right.
They didn't expect this large amount of money to happen to fund school choice. That was the first huge surprise, and it's a lesson to be learned by all these other states that are adopting, you know, school choice statewide. But they haven't spent the money. What is the story on that?
I mean, this is one of those where people have been pointing out, saying, you know, why public monies should not be put into the hands to be used in private school matters. Mm-hmm. And you know what the parents did? They're not doing anything illegal in Arizona. They're taking their voucher every year. And these are mostly parents who are already paying for private schools and can afford it. They're taking then that voucher and they're putting it in their bank accounts. And some of them are putting it together. They're taking, quote, educational trips with the money. And some of the parents are just creating a big savings account. And so, yeah. And all of this is happening while the public schools in Arizona are underfunded or defunded, but yet there is $360 million of unspent voucher funds that are sitting in families' bank accounts now. So, you know, big drain on the taxes. But then again, the defunding, as our guest said, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, Matt Damon's mom, this is the intentional defunding of public schools.
Yeah, that it's the amazing thing is that they couldn't have actually seen this happening, where people would just stow away the money, save it, do some frivolous things and call it education for their kids. I mean, that was the first thing that occurred to me, that as soon as you give the parents this kind of money to spend on whatever they want, but it has to be educational, they'll come up with excuses to use the money for something they call educational, right?
Yeah, I mean, you think about this, it's not just Arizona, the documented parts of the $360 million, but we knew that some of these, you know, voucher states, Florida in particular, documented cases that parents have been using their $7,000 to $9,000 to create trips to Disney, and even a family bought a hot tub with taxpayer funding, quote, under educational use issues. Well, Johnny, I don't know. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, there's a lot of different examples that I think are outlier cases. And I don't want to, we were talking about this on the show and we got into it a little bit, you know, I mean, it's not really a problem of the people as much as it is as a problem of the policy. Mm-hmm. So think about if you're a parent out there and the state says, hey, we're going to give you $7,000 a year because you've got a kid in school. Mm-hmm. Like, okay.
Human nature, right?
Yeah. Take it. All right, cool. So, you know, but it's $7,000 that the state ought to be putting into its public school system, right? So it should invest more than that even, but you know, it comes from somewhere. It doesn't just come out of thin air.
Right.
So it takes away from the larger part of the state's responsibility to fund public education, you know, takes away from all the things that are so important to our communities, like extracurriculars, theater programs, art programs, you know, football programs, wrestling programs, right. All these different things that are fabric of not only the, you know, reading, writing and arithmetic of schools in our country, but all the ways that we have great things for our young people to be doing in schools.
And then these choice programs require that the schools provide sports, right, for these individuals that they could attend.
If they're connected to that and they want to have, you know, something that, quote, isn't offered in that private school, then yes, actually, John, the way you just said that, then the local public school is required then to accommodate the private school student in whether it's, you know, sometimes it can be special education services or even, as you said, busing to a sports program that private school doesn't have. So you think about that, the money that should have gone to the public school is now being diverted to the private school, but yet still public schools have responsibilities to those private school students. And so without any funding now, the funding has left. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm glad you pointed that out, because a lot of people need to realize that every time voucher money goes, it's leaving your public school system,
right,
therefore not being available. So that's why when we say it's defunding your local public schools.
Talk to Tim Slecker and Johnny Lupinacci, the busted pencils guys. And if you would like to chime in, you can call us 608-879-8255. If you have a question or a comment, 608-879-8255. 8255, John.
All right, we're talking about Florida, and just recently I understand that they're redoing, and you guys are into history, they're redoing the history program down there, and they're going to a place called Prager University to rewrite history.
What?
Is that right? Have you heard about this?
Oh, we've heard about it. Okay. We've done it. Johnny, you want to take a stab first?
Well, I mean, we can talk about it a little bit here, and I'll kick it back to you, Tim, because we actually had a whole show and an extended podcast about Prager U, as we called it, you know, and it's actually a pretty it's a pretty dangerous line of thinking to go down.
Yeah.
You know, they're history revisionists, to say it lightly. But, you know, there are outside of the public system, you know, group of folks who are basically a think tank, and their ideas kind of cooked up through that. And then, you know, politically advocated in places like Florida to be used as resources to teach. Well, these are widely inaccurate and also highly problematic in terms of not only are they not accurate, but why would we bring in resources or information that we know is wrong into teaching? But yet that's the kind of political moment we're in, where anyone can advocate for ideas to be brought into a classroom. And that's a huge problem. So education is a state right. And that's kind of why we're picking on Florida here, is because, you know, state to state, these decisions are made, or what should be taught, you know, what's in the curriculum. And there's some sort of national benchmarks and some guideposts around the way. But we're big fans of state rights here, Tim and I, on Busted Pencils. So we like that education is a state right. Your listener out there in Wisconsin, you got a great state for education. Sure, we'll talk about how we can make it better all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty great state. Here we are picking on Florida. It's made some decisions to say, hey, we don't want you to necessarily teach responsibly about history. We want you to draw on this resource, one of them being Prager University's, like, and I even struggle saying university.
I'm going to say it's not a university. Let's be honest, okay? It's a think tank that is putting out curricular materials, as Johnny said, and very, very much in the idea of going, you know, the largely history, social studies curriculum, that is this whole America First patriotism.
Yes.
But then what Johnny says, you know, we did an episode on very much a cartoon that they put out. This is so kids will enjoy it, where Frederick Douglass, these kids from today go back and they visit Frederick Douglass in the past. And Frederick Douglass makes comments about, you know, slavery wasn't all that bad. Okay. Wow. Which is, I mean, this is, you know, people are like, aren't you guys, you know, they're just getting another perspective. No, they're not getting another perspective. Right. They're getting lies, not truths. And in fact, the whole idea that a former slave who advocated abolition nonstop, who they then put forward as slavery wasn't that bad. And you got to understand that white people at the time, they were just, you know, trapped in an economic system. You're sitting there going, whoa, wait a minute.
So
Johnny, you bring that up. It's just to point out and say, but that is where then, as Johnny said, those state funds in Florida for public schools are then going to this private entity, Prager University, to buy curriculum materials for your schools. And that's where you sit down and go say, wait a minute, how is that legal that public monies are being used to actually fund curriculum that is truly indoctrinating students to lies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the fact that they took away, you know, one of their more liberal arts colleges and changed the curriculum and fired professors and completely changed it over was a tip, a nod, a giveaway, basically, that they were doing something kind of crazy and a little bit too patriotic.
Well, you're talking about New College. Yes, and we've talked about that even, too. You know, we've had a couple invitations from some of the faculty there. And, you know, they at the time, as you pointed out, they were being fired, so they haven't been willing to come on and talk. So,
all right. We'll be right back.
Yeah, we're going to come back with Tim Slecker, Johnny Lupinacci, the Busted Pencils on John and Gordy, 92.7 WMDX.
Hail, hail, rock and roll. Deliver me from the days of old. Long live rock and roll. The beat of the drums loud and bold.
Your You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lawball Show.
The Wisconsin Badgers are playing in California this Saturday, and who has it all covered for you? Todd Albaugh, host of the Todd Albaugh Show.
I'm going to L.A. It's the first time that the Badgers have gone out and played one of the new schools. The Badgers taking on USC.
Don't miss a show or any of the fun leading up to the Badgers-USC game. It's the Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon to 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
They're eating the pets.
J.D. Vance has said on the air that he admitted it was all a lie. Pack right, load. Words have consequences.
Of course they do. When we're talking about the incendiary remarks about immigrants, we're not talking about the fact that it was Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone who killed the bipartisan border security and immigration reform bill.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump, on his Truthy Social platform, he wrote this, quote, "It was 3-on-1, but they were mentally challenged people against one person of extraordinary genius."
Real man of genius.
Here's to you, Orange Man. Losing by a whisker, then saying you won.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Dumb. 92.7 WMDX, the John and Gordy Family Show.
This portion of the John and Gordy Show is sponsored by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. You can find them on Madison's east side or west side or online at verlo.com. We're talking to the Busted Pencils, Tim Slecker and Johnny Lupinacci. Let's continue our discussion talking about reading, right? The science of reading.
We were just talking about Prager U and Dennis Prager, an announcer, basically. I mean, he's got a very friendly style of delivery, and everybody kind of wants to believe what he's saying. You know, it's super patriotic and certainly not real history. But now, there are other programs out there besides PragerU that are trying to influence education, and one of them is the Science of Reading, which we have here in Wisconsin now. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, man.
Where do you start?
Right? Yeah, I've never heard. I didn't know about this.
You have to start with there's a premise or a myth or maybe a truth, but the whole idea of a fear that we're not teaching children how to read. Mm-hmm. And you point that out and say that's a real serious issue, because learning to read is truly one of those fundamental issues where, particularly early education, kindergarten, where you're really saying like that's important. So when we talk about this, it isn't to say that there isn't a problem with kids who don't learn how to read. There is, and we need to be doing everything we can from a literacy. But what Johnny was talking about during the break with you guys, this science of literacy, it's actually itself has nothing to do with science. It's a marketing term being used to sell actually a prescribed curriculum. And what's happening in Wisconsin, I will tell you exactly what's happening here in Ohio, and this is happening in about 40 states, is that curriculum that is science of reading approved is the only curriculum that states are allowed to buy. So here in Ohio, the local school district now, they had to get rid of all of their reading curriculum and now buy science of reading approved curriculum. Hey, and guess what? The science of reading approved curriculum had a whole bunch of high paid lobbyists in Columbus, in the state house of Ohio. And now, so what you've got here is the politicians mandating a curriculum be purchased by all the local public schools, and all of that public money, though, and you're pointing this towards, quote, a science of reading. And it was concocted from this whole reality sometimes of saying, hey, what happens when certain kids don't learn how to read? That's a real problem. But guess what? Mandating science of reading has nothing to do with helping children learn to read.
Wow.
That's just mind blowing.
I'm telling you, it's a little breathtaking, actually. Wow. And it is. It's the politicians trying to influence education. They've been trying to do that at the UW here. And plus, you know, getting rid of DEI was another thing, or else they would withhold funding from the university. And now we've seen a drop all across the country of minority students' enrollment. So it's really having an impact already.
Yeah, absolutely. When we talk about things like what was happening in Arizona and is happening across the country, and the whole, like, you know, misleading company of the science of reading, right? Yeah. It's not, you hear that and you think like, oh, that's a bunch of researchers who have figured out the, you know, the best way to teach kids. It couldn't be further from the truth. That's just the title of the materials that they send out and that they have for sale, that they have politically have had approved. You know, that are in some states the only resources schools can buy. But, you know, the important thing is, it's like what goes away when schools are privatized or when public education as an idea, you know, is devalued, is our commitment to, you know, equality, is our commitment to democracy. Because what we see is, you know, that does, like, take the Arizona vouchers or even the voucher movement in Wisconsin. What it does is, you know, there's this promise or there's this myth that, you know, it's providing families with more opportunities, more choice, you know, better schools that they can send their kids to should their school not be great. And here's the reality is what it does is it further creates a gap. It further allows for more, you know, exclusionary practices, because a lot of these private schools, and I'm not picking, and they'll always be private schools and public schools, right? But some of these schools, the charter schools around the country, are able to, you know, really say, no, we don't want, you know, X, Y, and Z kinds of kids here. We don't want any kids who may have special needs. We don't want any. So they can really work around some important, you know, things that historically and contemporarily have been, you know, stalwarts of public education. This is a place for where every child can get an education. Well, that goes away when you start to move it into the private sector. And that's everything we've seen in the research is said that this hasn't been an equalizer. This has actually been a big disaster and a massive step backwards in terms of strengthening a democracy and schools being a place where young people learn to be themselves and one another. Diversity really gets ignored in a lot of these contexts. You know, we don't actually come together with local folks in our community. We end up in these really highly selective, exclusionary places.
That's right.
And so it's been a big step backwards everywhere it's unfolded. And, you know, that's why we like to talk about it here, because I don't think the listener and all of us would agree, hey, let's really divide even further as a country.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, guys, we got to leave it there. Talking with Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci.
You can catch our busted podcast on the weekend.
Yes.
And it's a fantastic program. You got to check it out. And they'll be with us every Thursday morning. And it's going to be a fantastic discussion. Thank you.
And guys, if people want to get a hold of you or contact you, what's the best place to go?
Hey, they can go to Civic Media, click on the Busted Pencils podcast right there, and send us, or bustedpencils@civicmedia.us is our email. That way you can send us anything you want to know. But yeah, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Busted Pencils drops as a podcast.
All excellent.
Right. Excellent.
Great all to right. have you with you and with us, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
thanks, guys.
Thursday, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
You betcha. 6:58 when we come
great
back.
Great hearing from him again.
We'll announce the keyword right around the corner for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. It's the John
Gordy Show. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Todd Albaugh.
Everybody join us next time as our West Coast trip continues live from Los Angeles, California, Hermosa Beach. Kelly Call, former CBS executive and producer of Just a Bit Outside, joins us live.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Second Amendment is designed to keep the power in this country with the people.
It's not the Second Amendment that preserves power in the people. It's elections, you moron. A dictator like Donald Trump that is a king and immune from prosecution, that is what erodes democracy. Kamala Harris and Uncle Tim Walz, they own guns. Nobody's coming for them. Chillax, Glenn. Get yourself some facts.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.